Hello, and welcome to the Rooted in Reliability podcast, your plant performance podcast, where we dive deeper into asset management techniques and know-how. I'm your host, James Kovacic, and I will be your guide to achieving industry best practice. The Rooted in Reliability podcast is here to provide you with the insights to improve plant performance and deliver bottom-line results to your organization. In case you missed the last episode, you can find the Rooted in Reliability podcast on iTunes, Stitcher, and on the reliability.fm network. Don't forget to subscribe so you'll never miss an episode. Now let's dive into today's topic. It is my pleasure to welcome back John Reif.
Well, thank you, James.
So, John, you are a past guest where we've talked about failure modes to failure codes, which is the title of one of your books. We've talked some other stuff around planning, scheduling, project management, a variety of topics like that. So what have you been up to lately?
Well, still doing consulting work, of course. I work for an IBM business partner for the Maximo software, but I like to believe that the theory and concepts I share knowledge on applies to any product, and I'm always keen to share knowledge.
Excellent. So how long have you been involved with maintenance and reliability?
Oh, yeah, a long time. I started out as a software consultant in 1987, which introduced me to many industries, and that was quite helpful. You know, what I noticed most about the leadership teams, they wanted to not only understand the software that we were implementing, but a few of them actually wanted to understand industry best practices and perhaps implement some of those concepts in parallel. And that always stuck with me. And so when the moment presented itself career-wise, I pursued that knowledge in earnest, and hence the CRL accreditation.
Excellent. Excellent. So one of the past books that you've written was Failure Modes to Failure Codes. What exactly is a failure mode?
The RCM standard, SAE JA 1011, 1012, describes failure mode in a sentence format, as like the Mowbray book does, a sentence format, right? And so an example would be the bearing failed due to lack of lubrication. So what I want to do here to answer your question is let's key on those three pieces, the bearing, the word failed, and then lack of lubrication. And so I see that as three separate fields. And it goes on to say that the cause, lack of lubrication, should always be included in the failure mode if it is essential to creating a proper maintenance tactic and improvement strategy. But from a database standpoint, what is really significant about the sentence and the three pieces of that sentence is the importance to break that sentence up. And that's also the same thing that Douglas Plucknett did in his book called RCM Blitz. And so when I read that, it became perfectly clear to me as a software guy, which Douglas was not, that let's take this one step further and actually start designing the CMMS product to accommodate those three fields. And the benefits are tremendous. You can validate entries, of course, with validated fields. You can run group by commands called aggregates, and I can do join statements to other tables containing similar data in the database. And that type of actionable data is extremely important if you're ever going to extract or perform failure analysis.
Yes, absolutely. Now, we previously talked about synchronizing that failure data for better decision-making, and that's exactly what you're mentioning. We have this actionable data we can make decisions on, address maintenance tactics, and so on and so forth. But what do you exactly mean by synchronizing failure data?
Okay. Before we go further, I'll say that in this context, the failure data, I'm going to equate that to failure mode. So, by synchronizing the failure mode data, I'm referring to two innovations. One is proper capture of the failure mode on the work order at job completion. And the other is creating a brand new application inside the CMMS product to replicate and hold the RCM analysis results. And I'm going to call that application the RCM failure mode application. Now, obviously, it stores much more than just failure modes. Things like the asset, the function, functional failure, and the failure mode, failure effects, and the suggested maintenance tactic. But by having that directly inside the CMMS application, we have tremendous, there are significant new capabilities in terms of refining that data over time.
Excellent. So we're going to refine that data over time. We're going to have these two distinct applications within the CMMS. Now, these two processes, is that where we're trying to synchronize the capture of failure data and the RCM application to drive those maintenance tactics?
Yes, and that's a key piece of it. It's and so I'll restate by saying the two processes would be the work order completion, capturing a proper validated failure mode, and the creation and refinement of the ongoing refinement of the RCM failure mode application. So by linking the failure mode, we have synchronized data.
Okay, so how is the failure mode used to synchronize the RCM process and the FRACAS, or failure reporting and corrective action process?
Well, thanks. I'm familiar with FRACAS. I mean, it's been around a long time. Just for our audience, it stands for Failure Reporting Analysis and Corrective Action System. I don't specifically use that term, but I have one that's very similar, and I call it chronic failure analysis. And chronic failure analysis is more inclusive. It includes capturing of the validated failure mode, the running of the failure analytic, and extracting information enabling the reliability team to drill down on the failure mode and eventually to the cause to take meaningful action. And so it's a complete process, chronic failure analysis. All right. So, let me stop right there. Go ahead, James.
All right, perfect. So once we have the synchronized data, the failure data captured, we're doing that chronic failure analysis. How does this address the frequency of the maintenance tasks, or maybe the tasks themselves? Are we doing the right ones or not the right ones, and so on and so forth?
Well, it's hard to know everything, but I put the responsibility of the creation of the proper maintenance task analysis of what the RCM facilitator created on the reliability engineer. And so they would work with the PM job plan technician for the software side to properly build out the PM job plan record, which includes the frequency and resource safety requirements, of course.
This podcast is brought to you by Iridicio. Be sure to check out iridicio.com for a free copy of their ebook, A Smarter Way of Preventative Maintenance. This ebook will allow you to review your current maintenance program and eliminate the non-value-added work you're doing, which is most likely causing you more downtime than it is preventing. www.iridicio.com. Now, do you have an example of how this synchronizing works? I know you mentioned the reliability engineer doing this, but do you have a good example of you can share with us?
It's a little bit technical. It's an SQL statement, and so I'm simply selecting the failed component from the work order and linking that to the failed component in the RCM failure mode application. And so I would that particular command could be run the instant a brand new work order is saved with failure mode data on it. And okay, a failure just occurred. You're recording the failure mode. And what if we have that stored in the RCM application and a PM maintenance tactic was created? Well, the question begs itself to be asked, why did that occur if we have a maintenance tactic in place? And so that's the very first question. The next question might be, why is the work order failure mode missing, perhaps, from the failure mode application when they already did an RCM analysis on this particular asset and system? And a third question would be, maybe we should reinvestigate the maintenance tactic that is in place. It could be incorrect for some reason. What if the PM work order record was skipped? It was a monthly PM, but it wasn't performed two out of the last 6 months. And so those are the types of thoughts that can go through the reliability engineer. And again, by having this data inside the one piece of software, inside the database, you can make it easier to have this Q&A and an investigation into the process. So that's my example of synchronizing failure data and improving the process of ongoing refinement.
Excellent. And that's a great example. Now, how much effort does it take to do this in an average month for a reliability engineer, for example?
Yes. Now, there's effort for the reliability engineer, but there's also effort for the maintenance technician. You know, if they were in the audience, I know what they're thinking this very moment. Okay, so you're asking us to put in more data now into the system, and how much time does it take to do that? So I want to include them in the answer. So a technician would enter the failed component. This might be a new field, new bit of information he's got to enter. He might be asked to enter the problem code also for the component, the failed component, or it could be the supervisor. And then the cause code could be any one of those three people, the technician, the supervisor, or the reliability engineer. The total time, once they're trained and comfortable with what's going on, I think it's just a few minutes per work order. But this is a very critical information, and we would, in the training course, be very specific as to the benefit of proper capture of failure mode, especially on a critical asset where you have a recurring failure. And that is the full circle now. Chronic failure analysis is for recurring failures, and these are things you want to focus on to reduce reactive maintenance.
Yes, absolutely. Now, what type of benefits would an organization reap from this type of ongoing activity?
As we just said, you know, a lot of people talk about failure analysis, but what I'm fearful of is that it's tribal knowledge. You still need to talk to people, but wouldn't it be great if the database actually had actionable data? Wouldn't it be great if we had a failure analytic that could help us pull out the worst offenders and bad actors? Wouldn't it be great once we select the asset, we could actually drill down on the failure mode? This is all possible. And it just the software needs to be set up with that goal in mind. So a properly designed failure analytic would allow the user to choose whatever metric they want to perform the group by, such as business risk exposure, maintenance downtime, asset condition. And the one metric I really like is the average annual maintenance cost divided by replacement cost, which normalizes all assets in your at the plant, and it will identify the bad actors. So it's a two-step process: identify the bad actors, and then drill down on the failure mode. Well, actually, three steps, and then take the corrective action.
All right, very good. Now I'm guessing that by this continuous process of evaluating failure modes, failure data, and linking that to the RCM database and our maintenance tactics, that this actually will truly create a living program. Is that assumption correct?
I sure hope so. That would be my goal. And I'm trying to make it easier for the reliability engineer and other leaders to utilize this software to actually create or perform data-based decisions on a routine basis. And so imagine that we've got this application RCM failure mode application, and there's a particular system at the plant that has not yet been analyzed. Okay, so now here comes a work order, and it's written against one of those assets. It has a functional failure, and at job completion, we identify the failure mode. So now the reliability engineer could get an electronic notification saying, hey, this occurred, but it's not even in the RCM application. Well, what do you want to do about this? And so he would begin a study. In 10, 15 minutes time, he should be able to reach a conclusion, theoretically, and decide to make a brand new insert. And so it's a dynamic, living program whereby you can start filling in the data as you go for pennies on the dollar.
Absolutely. Now, are there any other thoughts on synchronizing failure data that we didn't cover that you want to touch on?
Well, I'm not saying this is the only way to be successful with failure analysis. I mean, the Fracas program is obviously good, proven. But I'm trying to design a process that's doable. I'm trying to design a process that will capture key data, but not be too painful to type into the keyboard. And so I'm not creating a very over-the-top taxonomy in the failure code hierarchy or asset component hierarchy. I'm simply creating these three validated fields, the failed component, the component problem, and the cause code. And this approach makes it doable for any organization out there.
Excellent. Perfect. Now, what is the one thing you think makes the biggest difference in being successful with this type of approach? What are the things that organizations have to do right to make this work?
For decades, everyone has been complaining about the lack of accuracy in the CMMS, and it's what they're really saying is the lack of usable failure data. And taking it one step further, it's the failure mode, the language of RCM that we want to capture. Now, if they start going after the worst offenders, they will be doing the absolute best they can every day that they come into work to reduce reactive maintenance. And by reducing reactive maintenance, again, you will be optimizing your maintenance costs and reducing these breakdowns. And so in the long run, you're optimizing return on asset, which leads to profitability. And that means your company is going to be the best they can be.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. Very good. Now, if you had a magic wand, what is the one thing you would change in a true living program?
I believe this is a significant piece of the puzzle, this entire solution, chronic failure analysis. I wish I could get the word out faster. I appreciate these podcasts. I wish I could meet with every asset-intensive industry that's out there and explain to them how simple this could be. There are organizations that are taking years to massage their database and set up the software, and I'm saying in a matter of weeks, this process could be in place. And the sad part is every day you forego proper failure mode capture, it is lost data never to be captured again. And so you want to get this ability in place as soon as possible.
Yep, I couldn't agree more. You need to have that failure data. You need to have that history, or you don't have anything to analyze or aggregate. So getting that data sooner than later is much, much better for everyone involved. Now, what is the one action you want our listeners to take away from the conversation today on synchronizing failure data?
Well, research the subject. Go after certification in reliability. There's several of them out there. Talk to your CMMS administrator and find others in the organization that think like you do, that have a desire to improve asset reliability, workforce productivity, and job safety, and start putting together a plan for the future that will help you achieve these goals.
Some very good activities there for our listeners to do. Now, John, where can people find out more about you? What activities or conferences are you going to be at? What else do you have going on?
Well, I am working on a second book. It should be released here this early summer. It's called Demanding Excellence from Your Asset Management System. And so it represents several decades of not field experience and knowledge that I've put together to make a complete picture using advanced processes and tips and tricks on how to optimize your system. I'm presenting at several conferences upcoming this year, MaintenanceCon in Chicago, April, Reliability Web in Seattle Bellevue in May, and then Maxima World August in Orlando.
Excellent. Excellent. So it sounds like you have a busy year coming up.
Yes. I enjoy speaking.
Excellent. Well, John, I want to thank you for taking the time today to talk to us about synchronizing failure data for better decision. Hopefully this gave some insight to our listeners on how they can take that failure data and use it to drive meaningful, actionable changes to their maintenance tactics for improved asset reliability.
Good stuff, James. As always, thank you.
I would like to thank you for listening and remind you that you can always find out more on maintenance, reliability, and asset management at www.iridicio.com and by following our blog. The Rooted in Reliability podcast is a proud member of the Reliability.fm network. I'd like to ask you to please rate and review this podcast on iTunes or Stitcher. It ensures the podcast stays relevant and is easy to find by like-minded professionals. It is only with your ratings and reviews that the Rooted in Reliability podcast can continue to grow. I thank you for providing this small but critical support. We'll see you next week when we dive into another burning topic with Rooted in Reliability, your plant performance podcast.